then is called believing. I call it believing in the miraculous. Say that with me, please. Come on. Believing in the miraculous. Life has moments that seem impossible to overcome. It's hard to figure out sometimes what to believe, what to do. Got dreams, got visions, thoughts, and they're coming. They're coming true. God's going to get you there. But the process can be painful. You don't want to sound braggish or anything, but you do have a dream. I hope you do. You know, when I came to this church, the first time I walked in this church, it's true, first time, they were praying a prayer at the very end. And the guy said, I see buildings. I see this. And the Holy Spirit brought that back to my mind. That was the closing prayer. I see thousands of people. I was in a house, 45 people in it, maybe 30 people in it. And he was seeing buildings and houses and all of that. That was my first experience. I believe with all my heart that God brings things to people who have passion and vision. Because of the few people that gathered in this church, believed that God was going to bring them a pastor, believed that God was going to give them an opportunity to impact thousands of people, that he was going to give them acres of land. Because they believed, that's why we're here. Can we get an amen, somebody? Amen. People that don't want anything can't have anything. Come on, say, if you don't want anything, you can't have anything. What you have now is tied to what you wanted. You say, no, I want it more. You might have wanted it, but you have to apply yourself to get it. Maybe it's still coming for you. It's not here yet. But I believe with all my heart, if you seek, if you ask, if you knock, God will guide you to a place. Now, I'm going to tell you this, though. I did knock on a few wrong doors. I asked for some things I shouldn't have asked for, and I sought after some things that weren't good for me. But on the way there, he guided me to the right place. Because my heart was right, he got me to the best place. Believe it or not, it's called Pastor Ricky Temple. Never dreamed that one. Never asked for that one. Never thought that one. Never could visualize it. Didn't know any pastors up close. I had no vision at all. Did I say zero? Can you say it with me, please? Zero. Sometimes you're asking, seeking, and knocking in the wrong direction. But keep on knocking in the wrong direction. He'll guide you to the right one. Because if your heart's right, he'll get you there like this. As you go, he guides you. As you knock, he shows you. But if you sit around and you feel sorry for yourself and you whine and complain, nothing plus nothing equals what?
Nothing.
Nothing. You can't get anywhere whining. I look ugly. Well, you can't get handsome by crying about it. Put some makeup on. Do your hair. Flip it back and right. I don't know. Do good haircut. Whatever you can do to make your life better, do it. Because whose life is this? Oh, you better say it. Whose life is this?
My life.
Come on, say my life.
My life.
You're the one that's going to be broke. You're the one that's going to be all tore up. You're the one. You are the one. I was pushing myself this week. Get up and work out because you're going to hurt. Left knee, right knee, back and everything else. Lips and all going to hurt. If I don't get up and try, getting in the mirror and feeling sorry for myself doesn't change a thing and I don't drop 1 pound or add 1 pound of muscle. Is lifting the weights and trying. And I believe with all my heart there's a time when you need to believe for the miracle. Lift your hand and say it with me, please. I'm believing.
Believe.
Say it like you mean it. Now, come on. Say, I'm believing
believe.
For a miracle.
I want God
to speak to me
because
I want
his plan
for my life.
Give God
a big hand clap if you heard me. Come on, amen.
I want God's plan
for my life.
I'm preaching already.
I'm happy with myself.
Praise God.
There's a guy named
Eli in the Bible,
and the Bible said
he was
the head
priest
in 1 Samuel.
Eli
was gifted
with a young man named
Samuel.
The book is
named after him.
Samuel
was
the son of
a woman named
Hannah who
couldn't have children.
She prayed for
a miracle, and
God gave her a son.
We talked about that last
week.
Then she said,
if you give me a son,
I'm going to give him to you,
God. I'm going to keep
my word. So
he went to the temple
and worked with Eli
and was mentored by him.
And Eli
was striving to help
him hear
God,
helping him
to grow as a
young man who wanted to
serve God.
In chapter 3,
verse 1, it says
this, The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions, not much spiritual activity. It was a pretty carnal time. Everything had kind of gone dormant spiritually. God was not speaking much, but there was this one moment when Samuel and Eli had a conversation. Verse 2, 1 Samuel 3. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying, didn't have glasses back then, see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel, here I am. And the Lord ran to, he ran to Eli and said, hey, here I am. You call me? Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back and lie down, boy. So he went and lay down. Verse 6, again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. You call me? My son, Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Verse 7, watch this now. And Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. See, he was inexperienced. He did not know that God was calling him. He didn't have a clue. This is his first time. There's always a first time. Now, let me just pause this. I want to jump ahead a minute because I'm going to tell you something. If you're watching on the notes, I'm going to go all the way to the bottom. Okay, the sermon notes. I added this at the end. This is my little bonus that I added in because I felt like when I got to this part, you might not know what I'm talking about. Because when you talk about hearing God's voice, people get spooky on you. And you don't really have a clear map. So I'm gonna try to give you a clear map. What I call this, first of all, mistakes people make when they're discerning the voice of God, and then some of the ways that God speaks to us. So let me start with some of the ways God speaks to us. Number one, he speaks to us through Scripture. 2 Timothy verse 3, verse 16. God gave us Scripture. That the Bible is the most reliable way to hear the voice of God. If you want to get the voice of God right in your life, don't rely on the impressions. I'll talk about that in a minute. But you need to know what the Scripture says. You have to have a guide. See, God is smart. He said, I better write this down. You know why you have a contract? You know why you don't buy a house shaking hands? Because you know people forget. I told you I was going to pay $200,000 a house in a few years. No, you said four. I thought it was $400,000, wasn't it? See, and if you're not careful, if you don't lay down all the rules and guidelines, people get things wrong. That's why he gave us the Scripture. Because he knows us. Can I get an amen, somebody? Amen. So he speaks through Scripture. He reaches to us through personal callings and private encounters. That's what you're seeing in this text. A private encounter. I hear more from God in private moments than I do in public moments. And I'm going to tell you a key. If you draw nigh to me, James said, I'll draw nigh to you. And so as you interact with God, you become a prayer warrior, a worship warrior, amazing things happen. I'm telling you, I'm a big prayer and worship warrior. I don't know if you notice or not, when I come to church, I'm working most of the time. It's the job calling for me. My private prayer life, though, mercy God, my worship time alone with God is far more than this. If 15 minutes is all you get a week, this is sad worship. You haven't opened the Bible all week long. You haven't thought about Jesus until you need something. That's not how I live my life. I want you to know that I find joy in his presence. I find peace in his presence. Come on, say amen. Are you hearing me, church? Now, I'm not saying that to be arrogant. I'm simply saying if you don't do it when you're home and alone, when you get up here, it's going to show up. You can't get it up here. You can't get it in church. It's called homework. You understand? Say the word. So you didn't even like it when school, did you? You didn't like it. Why are you giving us homework? Let's do it all in class. Can't learn it all in class. Because it's called what? Homework. That means work at home. Your spiritual life will never be what God called it to be if you don't do some work at home. Pray at home. Would your kids say you are a prayer? Would your family say they know you pray because they see you go pray? You don't need to announce it. You just need to be a part of your life. I'm going to pray, everybody. Pastor Rick, to let all y'all know. I didn't say that. Come on, say homework. Homework. I mean work at home. Something about that. It changes everything. So God speaks through those private encounters. Thirdly, God speaks through circumstances. In 1 Kings 19, God spoke to Elijah through a circumstance. He was scared of Jezebel. God spoke to him, showed him his fears, showed him where he was inadequate. Sometimes you think you're bad until the trial comes. Right now you're crying and wailing because something's wrong in your life. Well, welcome to the world. I'm sorry. Let's see how strong you are in the Lord now. Where's your faith right now? Where are you in your walk with God right now? See, somebody else is going through something. Somebody sent me a message on the way here today. The husband died last night. A friend of mine sent me a text message. Pray with him, family. But what's powerful is what that man said. I know y'all sad for me, but I want you to know I'm okay. See, that's faith in action. When your body is falling apart and things aren't right for you and your dreams are not coming true, but you still know God is still God. Amen. Come on, say amen. And in those circumstances, I hear God. I would never do another funeral in my life. I told you, I ain't coming to my own. You will see, my body ain't going to be there. So if you want to, you better take a picture now. That's it. That's just me. I'm me. But I tell you, every funeral I do, I hear God. Be thankful. Every time I have to stand in front of a crowd and try to encourage them in those moments, I hear God speaking to me. So sometimes through circumstances, getting fired on your job for some of you was the best thing could happen to you. That taught you to go to work. Being broke was the best thing ever happened to some of you because it taught you to do what? Save some money. Live within your means. Speak up. Say something. Come on, give me an amen if you hear me. Sometimes you learn during worship moments. When things happen in here, the worship moments, you learn, you hear God. Sometimes through failure, you hear God. Sometimes through your success, you hear God. I heard God when I had soap, when somebody gave me a check. You want to know how much it was for? Because you know, so you want to know. Some of you said yes and some of you said no. It's $40,000. $40,000. I went and put $40,000 in the bank. Don't ask me. Don't ask no question. And I was so ashamed of the money, I drove past the bank a few times. And then I went in the bank and I had the check in my hand. And I walked around, and I saw a teller, and it happened to be one of my members. So I can't go in that line. I can't go in that line. I got to go in the other line. I was ashamed. I didn't know I'd be ashamed. I didn't know I'd be insecure. I didn't know that $40,000 would make me feel like I was too rich. I didn't know how to explain it. I went one place, telling y'all my business. And I spoke overseas. They gave me $20,000 for speaking. Don't say nothing. Just listen. And I spoke. I don't get that all the time either. Don't tell me y'all counting up my money already. And I gave it to the teller, and she said, "Oh, Pastor Ricky, they love you overseas, don't they?" I said, "Just shh, put it in the bank. Just don't say nothing." I didn't know that success would make me insecure. And all you got to do is have somebody look at you and say, "Money, here come money," and then you get all ashamed. Park your good car behind around the other side of the house. Don't ever drive it to work because you want nobody to see your nice car. Why did I tell you that? Mess with you? God spoke to me during my successes and my failures. He told me to trust him, to embrace what God would do in your life. I learned to hear God differently. I also heard this: you can't give anything away if you don't have anything. Come on, talk to me, somebody. You can't give a thing away. And I'm telling you, in those moments, if you have a pastor who's afraid of 40,000, he'll never take you to 40 million. You'll never get there because you don't want to work for him because he's broke. Can't pay you, can't give you a raise. You need to be around somebody that has confidence and faith in God, and they're not into themselves. They want to be blessed to be a servant. How about an amen to that? You hear me? Come on, amen. They want to be blessed to be a servant. So I learned through success. I learned through trials. I learned through all those different things. And I got verses. If you get the sermon notes, I have verses for all of that. There are moments that God speaks to you through a difficult trial in your life. Sometimes you can't hear God until you get under pressure. There are many things Jesus said, I desire to say unto you, but you are not yet able to bear them. You whine too much. You cry too much. Your feelings get too hurt. You live on your feelings on your shoulder. Wax hanging out your ear. Nobody can tell you on the whole job. Everybody watch you all day. There they come. Things all on your shirt. They can't tell you. You got that spot on your shirt. You get upset. Let people talk to you. You're too loud. Let somebody tell you that. Let somebody say it to you. You want love in your life, but nobody can talk to you. Sometimes God's saying, I want to talk to them. But you're bound because you can't hear. And here's some mistakes we make. You ready? Here's some mistakes we make discerning the voice of God. Number one, we associate God's voice with our cultural preference. You think God black. You think God a woman. You think God a man. You think God like you. You think God an American. Surely God's an American. You know that, right? He got a flag right behind the throne. Surely God is like us. God is a Republican or God's a Democrat. Right? What is God? God? See, you paint a picture in your mind after your own image. We connect God's voice to our ethnic bias. We think he likes us more than them. Whoever the them is in your life. We tie God's voice to our political views and values. We link God's voice to our personal theological conclusions. We read the Bible. We get our favorite verses. That's why this book is so good. Get it? I'm telling you, the book I'm talking about this month, for this season. Accidental Pharisee. Say it, come on. By Larry Osborne. That's the book. It'll help you. You know so much about the Bible. You know God. You're so clear about God. Everybody's wrong but you. Everybody needs to join your church. Hear your pastor. We relate God's voice to our taste buds. I am now a vanilla ice cream guy. I used to be strawberry. And surely when I moved from strawberry to vanilla, God moved with me. You really think he's like you, don't you? If you're not careful. You really think he likes the music you like? Nobody can be different. That's what that book is about. We struggle. He has a whole section on unity. How we define God by everybody's like us. I love this comment. Why is there a church on every corner? We ought to all unite. Okay, let's all go to one restaurant. Let's all just eat spaghetti. Throw out the hamburgers. Let's get rid of steak. From now on, everybody is banned to one restaurant in one location. There's a problem with that. We can't all fit, number one. And number two, we all don't like spaghetti. Watch this. Who does not like spaghetti in here? Nobody? Oh, my God. Jesus, I'm in the wrong. That was a bad illustration. That didn't go well. We got one person in the whole church. Ain't there something? I didn't think there was. Wow. Okay. Back up the tape. Let's try something else. That is astonishing. Nobody's like, one person. Father bless them in Jesus. Where are you, the one person? Where there? Right there? What, one? Okay. God, now they ain't gonna hardly raise their hand. I got you. If you got the point I'm making, say amen. Man, y'all amazing. And my time is up too. Lord help me, Jesus. I got 2 minutes. What's amazing is when God in our story spoke to Samuel, when Samuel finally went back and he sat there and remember Eli told him, I didn't call you, I didn't call you, I didn't call you. And finally Eli told him, just go sit there and the next time you hear the voice, say, Lord speak, I'm your servant, I hear. And what God told Eli was amazing. Well, Samuel was amazing. Verse 11 of 1 Samuel 3, the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from the beginning to the end. And I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about, because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. He failed to stop his children. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and he was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli said, "My son, you tell me, or may worse come upon you." Now, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes when you hear God's voice for real, it's not always compliments. He'll say, "You know better. I taught you better. You've compromised in ways that you didn't have to compromise." Eli allowed his sons to sleep with the women, to steal the offerings. He allowed them to do all that, and he only gave them a light rebuke. He didn't really challenge them. There's something about you being willing to hear the tough messages. One of the best things a friend ever told me, he said, "Ricky Temple, I want you," he's a lawyer, he said, "I want you to give it to me straight with the hot sauce, please. Do not hold back. Do not spare my feelings. Tell me the truth. How much of the truth do you want to hear from God?" So I close with this thought. What has God already said to you? What has not listening to God cost you? What has not listening to God cost you? A marriage, a job, career, reputation, freedom, resources, money, promotion. Because you're on the job correcting everybody about everything because you're the police for the job. The all-knowing, wise staff person. Your job is to correct everybody and everything. I speak my piece. You sure do. At home. Because you can't stop yourself. You're unstoppable. How has listening blessed you? Oh, I can say some ways. The fact that I get to be up here in front of you, that's a blessing. And lastly, when do you plan to start listening? Name a date. Is it today? I hope so. Let's all stand. I hope it's today. I hope if you're online listening to this message, you're saying, "You know, Pastor Rick, not listening to God has cost me." Samuel told Eli the truth. God's going to judge you. And he's not going to just judge you. He's going to judge your children's children's children. God said, "You can't be forgiven." Here's why: because you won't repent, you won't change. After hearing all of that, Eli never repented. All he said was, "Thank you." I'd be on the floor. That's the time to grab the sackcloth and ashes they used to do in the Bible, you know. David did that. Nineveh did that. Not Eli. Are you like him? That was a good message, preacher. You stepped on my toes today. Thank you for the compliment, but what you going to do about it? Give me a date. I'll think about what you said, preacher. Think about it. You've been thinking for years now already. See, here's what Eli, when I hear the voice of God, when I look at Eli, here's what I hear. Don't play with God. That's why some people, when they go to court and they stand there in front of the judge, they know they did it, and more that the judge don't even know. That's why they have no emotions. Some of them know, "I am guilty, guilty, guilty. Doctor told me to eat this, not that. Doctor told me to exercise. I'm not doing it." Okay. 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 You're going to pray away? See? At what point do you stop? This marriage is going down. Things are going off the cliff. We're pretending we're okay. We're not. hear the voice of God today. Father, we leave today with faith and confidence. We hear you. We open our hearts to you to change, to we bow to you. We thank you for your the difference you make. We ask your grace to be strong in us today, healing hearts and lifting minds. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today in the building or at home, wherever you are watching, on demand, wherever you are, Father, we pray for them today that they would receive Jesus. This would be the prayer that they say, Jesus, come into my heart, be the Lord of my life from this moment forward. We thank you, God, for the difference you make. We thank you for your forgiveness. We ask your blessing. We ask your grace. We thank you in Jesus' name for the difference you will make and the hand of God upon us. And we honor you and praise you for it. In the name above all names, in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Come on, give God a big hand clap. Would you do it? Come on.